Well, it is good to see you all. Good morning. Would you please turn with me in your Bible to the book of Ephesians? I'd like to continue on in our series of messages today. It's Ephesians chapter 2. I am going to read verses 1 through 10. Paul wrote that as one long sentence. I'm breaking it down into three parts, as you've seen in our bulletin handout. So if you would you please follow along with me in Ephesians chapter 2, and I am going to read verses 1 through 10. So brothers and sisters, hear the word of the Lord. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Well, truly, may the Lord be praised through the proclamation of his word. As you know, I've been following our outline, and if you don't have one, I'll give you one of these. Last week, we indicated that verses 1 through 10 talks about God's love made alive in Christ, and it's not by our works. Our love for him is done by God. We saw last week in verses 1, 2, and 3 speak about the believer's sinful past. Now, today, we will look at verses 4 through 7, which talks about the believer's present state, our present state of salvation as in believers in Christ and how that was accomplished. So today, I'm going to point out how that was accomplished, and I'm going to bring you to an Old Testament text that spells that out in prophetic manner, and we will work through that and then come back to the New Testament, and we will see that what Paul is talking about in verses 4 through 7, which is the new believer's present salvation is found in Christ, but it's prophesied, and we'll see that in a minute. Lord willing, next week, we will talk about the grace of God is the basis of the believer's salvation. It's by the grace of God that we'll be talking about. So today we are going to be looking at the believer's present state of salvation. And it's found only in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. We know from these passages that we looked at last week, we looked at the word dead. And the word dead there in Greek is corpse. So you are a corpse in your trespasses, and trespasses means you're deviating from God's truth. You are intentionally deviating from God's truth, and sin here means you are on the wrong path or taking the wrong course, the wrong direction. So as a corpse, you're taking the wrong direction and you're not following God. And so that comes from being filled with your mind from Satan and the fallen world around us. So if you would you notice with me as we start in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, now the Apostle Paul is encouraging the faithful believers back in Ephesus and in regards to what the Father has done for them, those faithful believers back there. He's no longer with them. He's been away from them for 4 years now, though remember, historically, he had been with them for almost 3 years, taught them, started a Bible school for 2 years in Ephesus and taught them. So now he's writing back to them, and this is more of a reminder. How many times have you said, well, you know, you said something like this to a friend, and you are relying on an experience that both of you had sometime in the past. I know I've done that with friends when we said, well, when we were working as electricians back, and you talked about that, and you didn't have to explain the whole story out, and the other person chuckling, yeah, you remember that day, went, well, that's what Paul's doing. But that's where we need to pause and be familiar with God's truth so that we can see it for what it is, what it's talking about. So what was happening? The Apostle Paul was contrasting with his friends their previous life, how they were, that's verses 1 through 3, they were corpses. Now, I'm going to share in our business meeting later today, since October, we have had 6 people pass away who at one time were members in this church. And not one of them, if you went up and pulled their hair or poked them, would move, would they? And that's what Paul is saying, that you're a corpse. You're spiritually a corpse. You can't respond. And he's saying that as to his friends. But he's saying in our verses now that there is a newfound hope in the Father in heaven being merciful towards them, which we now apply to ourselves. Not because of any great act which those people had accomplished to receive God's favor, but that it was by God's just great riches of being merciful, which we all know he does not have to be merciful. That's why we call it mercy. We are saved by the grace of God, the mercy of God. It isn't because, well, you're obligated. Well, no, he is not. Now we have this hope within us because the Holy Spirit has come, has drawn us to himself. And when the Spirit worked on us, we know what has happened. We respond to the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity draws us. He then redeems us by sprinkling the blood of Jesus Christ on us. And now we are spiritually cleansed and we are spiritually no longer corpses. We are alive. And today, this is our hope and we rely on what is now known as the new covenant in his blood. That's why we do communion once a month, to remember that Jesus Christ established the new covenant, the redemption that is found in Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is talking about here in verses 4 through 7. And this truth is about the Father being merciful towards us. And then, as we know from John chapter 6, the Father says, Jesus says to the Father, all that you give to me, I will receive, and I will not lose any one of those that you give to me. And I will bring them and deliver them back over to you on the last day. What a great promise that comes from Christ. So God is not under any obligation to respond to any of us who are fallen. Because that would mean that you did something that would put him under an obligation. And something tells me that just doesn't work that way. Not according to Scripture. We do not deserve it. It is by His mercy, by His grace, and that's why we think it's so magnificent and so great. And so instead, what does the Apostle Paul do? He directs our attention, as he did those brothers and sisters in the past, to the love of God for us. He redeems a people for His own possession. In the Old Testament, it was primarily to the Jew. And now, as we know from New Testament texts, it's both Jew and Gentile, which starts speaking about in Acts chapter 11 with Peter going to Cornelius. And now we who were spiritually dead, Gentiles, with no hope, now have a hope. We hope in God that the mercy and the grace of God will be directed towards us. Those who think that way, it's because the Holy Spirit is now drawing them, and I'm going to show you that in a minute. It is God the Father being solely merciful towards us. Now, I'm going to ask you to read along with me in Ephesians 5, chapter 2, verse 5. Now, for those of you who are scribbling down notes, I'm going to ask you to please do it now, all right? I want you to write down Ezekiel chapter 37 in verses 1 through 14. CF, compare further with the Gospel of John chapter 14 and verses 16 and 17. There's more there, and if you are a good student and you want more of it, you can chase this out yourself, all right? I am going to read from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, which is going to lead me, and therefore the rest of us here today, to Ezekiel chapter 37. In the middle, I'm going to stop, and I'm going to point out to you to flip to the Gospel of John chapter 14. All right? And then I will go back to the Ezekiel 37 passage. And all of this is coming out of this idea that Paul is mentioning to his friends in Ephesus out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Now, I'm going to read the passage as it is, and then I will read it again. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, and interject words with meanings that will follow that, all right? So, brother and sister, here we go. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Now I'm going to read it again. Even when we were corpses in our intentional deviation from God's truth, the Father made us spiritually alive together with Christ's resurrection. By grace you have been saved. By grace you have been redeemed. By grace you have been atoned for. By grace you have been born again. Is that helpful? Now, would you please go with me to Ezekiel chapter 37. In this passage, we are going to hear this. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel prophesies about the first advent and the blessings that would come with it. God breathing His spirit of life upon corpses. All right? God breathing His spirit, and who do we know the spirit to be? Third person of the Trinity. All right? Also in Ezekiel, he will also prophesy about the second advent in which the redeemed, the born again, of the Lord are promised to enter into the heavenly Jerusalem. All right? So as Ezekiel will point out, how all of us are spiritually dead corpses. We know this from the word in Ephesians 1, 3, and also in Ephesians 1, 5. The word there, dead, is the Greek word corpse, as in you're a corpse. We're spiritually a corpse. And so what we're hearing, the believers now come and are given new life by the Father in heaven being merciful to the spiritual dry bones, corpses, and then through the work of the third person of the Trinity, Holy Spirit, that breath will breathe on those corpses and they will come to life. And all of this was accomplished by, and we will actually hear the word, and Ezekiel is going to be called the Son of Man. Who do we know to be the Son of Man? Yes, you got it. You hear the hermeneutic, don't you? You hear this is how we're going to walk through this passage in Ezekiel. He is the anointed one who was chosen by the Father to accomplish this marvelous miracle. And it is a miracle. We've talked about this before. If you were sick, you need a doctor. If you're ignorant, you need a teacher. But what are we? Corpses, and we need a miracle worker. A miracle worker that can bring life. We see this, don't we? We call it redemption, the work that is done by Jesus Christ, which is in the mind of the Father in heaven, spoken to the Son who will accomplish it by redemption, and the Holy Spirit who is going to carry it out. And I want you to see that in a prophetic message, and then I think by the time you get halfway through this, I think every one of us here will recognize it as we look at it. I'm going to ask you to please turn with me now to Ezekiel chapter 37. And in your Bible, it may have a footnote called the Valley of Dry Bones. We could call it spiritual corpses. I will start reading, and in between, I will interject a few things. And so if I do it slow enough, I won't ruin the rhythm. Here it is, Ezekiel 37, starting in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. Right next to the valley, you can put the word earth. It was full of bones, what we would call spiritual corpses. And he led me, that would be Ezekiel in this prophecy, but this is actually, he's a type of Christ here. And he says, and he led me, Christ, around among them, and behold, there were many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. Yeah, from the time of Adam, they have been very dry. Verse 3, and he said to me, and what does it start off with? Son of Man, representing Christ, can these bones live? And Ezekiel, or Christ, said, O Lord God, that's the Father in heaven, you know. What do we go to? All that the Father gives to me will come to me. John 6, 36. O Lord, you know. O Father, you know. Notice what it says in verse 4. It's Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 4. Then he, that would be the Father, said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord, which is Redeemer. What exactly did Jesus do? He spoke to the dry bones, the spiritually dead corpses, the word of God. Verse 5. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath. Now, for those of you who like to know, that is a Hebrew word. It's raw. Actually, when you say the word, you're breathing it out. It's R-U-A-H, raw. To enter you, behold, I will send raw to enter you, and you shall live. So raw, spiritual breath, shall enter you. Verse 6, and I will lay sinew upon you, and you will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath, raw, in you, and you shall live. And you shall know, you shall know that I am the Redeemer. You and I, by now, all know that only the redeemed of the Lord know the Lord. If you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know the Lord. And Scripture says in verse 6, you shall know that I am the Redeemer. Do you hear the words there? Notice what he goes on to say in verse 7. So I, that would have been Ezekiel being a type of Christ, prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. In verse 8, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9, then he, the Father, said to me, and I will say Christ, and also watch here, notice the Trinity, prophesy, as in speak, to the breath, the Ra. So do we hear Father, Son, Holy Spirit here? He, the pronoun, verse 9, then he, who's the he, the Father, said to me, which would be the Christ, this is the Father saying to the Son, prophesy or speak to the breath, to the Holy Spirit. And it says, prophesy, Son of Man, which is Jesus Christ, and say to the breath, that would be the Holy Spirit, thus says the Lord God. Now I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to ask you to please turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. I'm going to ask a leading question. When did Jesus Christ do this? John tells us, and in fact, you ladies who are doing the ladies' Bible study on Wednesdays and Thursdays, you've got a heads up on us guys, because the girls have been going through the Upper Room Discourse in John 13 through 17, and they looked at this, and this should be part of their, oh, yes, this works well together. Notice what happens in John 14. I'm going to start reading in verse 16 and then read down through 18. So John chapter 14, verse 16 says, and I, we know this to be Jesus Christ speaking, will ask the Father, and he will give you another, what's the word there? Helper. To be with you a day, an hour, what has he got? Forever, imagine that. Even the, what is the word there? Spirit. And in Greek, it's pneumos, as in pneumatics, as in air, breathing. If I were to use the Hebrew word, it would be raw. You get it? He says, so here Jesus is saying, I'm going to go to the Father now. I'm going to ask that the breath, the raw, would come. And he is the Spirit of truth. And notice what he says as I finish verse 17. Whom the world cannot receive because it never sees him nor knows him. Yes, because what did we talk about last week? We talk about original sin. That was part of original sin. We called it total depravity or total inability. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. Original sin. And now, John is speaking about Christ. He says, Jesus is speaking, you know him, for he dwells with you. Notice that the Holy Spirit was around them, moving around them. But he goes on to say, and will be in you. Talking about a future time while he will indwell you. And so Jesus makes a promise to the apostles, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. For those who want to take it a step further, it's Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, which I'm not going to go there now. That is at the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit did come and indwell the people. Okay? Now, I'm going to go back to the Ezekiel passage, and I'm going to read verse 9 again, Ezekiel 37, 9. So we'll work through this, and I'll jump over the John and passage, and we'll go through it. Then he, the Father, said to me, Christ, prophesy or speak to the breath, the Holy Spirit, prophesy, Son of Man, that'd be Jesus Christ, and say to the breath, the Holy Spirit, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O Ra, breath, and breathe on these slain, they were slain by Adam in their sin, that they may live. So verse 10 says, so I, that had been Christ, prophesied as he, that would have been the Father, commanded me, and the breath, the Ra, came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. That would be the army of the Lord, the saints, Old Testament and New Testament saints. Verse 11, then he said to me, that had been the Father, Son of Man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Old Testament, New Testament. Jew, Gentile. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. That have been from heaven. So what's the message? Verse 12, what's the message going to be? Therefore, that should I say, Son of Man, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God. So we're hearing God's resurrection promise now in verse 12. Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Well, the final Israel is going to be the new heavenly Jerusalem. The new heaven and the new earth. That would be back in Peter. Verse 13. And you shall know. Notice the word shall. It will be abundantly obvious. You shall know that I am the Lord. That's the one who redeemed you, who saved you out of your original sin, your total inability, your total total depravity. And so it goes on to say, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, when will that be? Second Advent. That's when our flesh will go to be with our spirit. O my people, in verse 14, and so now he's stepping back. He told you one side of the story. Verse 14 says, and I will put my spirit within you. When did that happen? First Advent. We actually know the actual event happened in Acts chapter 2 in verses 1 through 4 when the Holy Spirit came upon the believers on the day of Pentecost, which is the sign and the seal now of the new covenant in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we remember it once a month. That is our, we remember our redemption accomplished by Christ. And it goes on to say in verse 14, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. He's not talking somewheres on this planet. He's talking about the new heavenly kingdom. Then you shall know, you're aware, that I am the Redeemer, the Lord, the one who's being merciful to you, who you do not deserve mercy. And so we hear the Father make this promise to the Son of Man in the very last line, I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Redeemer. You hear, by the grace of God, he was going to accomplish in Ezekiel, in the past, prophesying of that time when the Christ, the Son of God, would come. He would breathe, speak the truth out, then promise that the third person of the Trinity would come, which we now call the church age, or the already, not yet, whichever you want to call it, and that we now are all saved by the grace of God, him being merciful to us who do not deserve it. And this was Ezekiel prophesying this truth that was yet to come. Now, today, we are on the other side, and we are looking back to the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Ezekiel was looking ahead, we are looking back. So now, I'm going to ask you to flip with me back to the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And that is, and here in this, that is why the Apostle Paul goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. I'll read it again, and I'm going to fill it in. And raised us up spiritually first, and then physically. There will be also a spiritual resurrection and a physical resurrection. We have already been spiritually made alive. We know that many of us pass away now. We will be waiting for our physical resurrection when the graves are opened up at the second advent. And this is with him, referring to Jesus Christ, and seated us with him, that will be the Father, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when did the Father in heaven keep his promise to breathe spiritual life into these spiritually dry bones, these dead corpses? At the first advent, evidenced by Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. We call it Pentecost. I'm going to turn to another passage because I want the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to ask you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. I think Paul helps to explain this better than I ever could. And I want you to follow along with me as we read 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 20 through 24. First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And they call him what there? The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. I find it interesting that they call that the believers only falling asleep. Verse 21, 1 Corinthians 15, 21. For as by a man came death, corpses, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead, corpses. Verse 22, for as in, and who brought about the dead corpses there? Adam, all die. That's, we're talking about what? Original sin, total depravity, total inability. So also in Christ shall all be made alive. We're talking about redemption, regeneration, atonement, or being born again. Anyone who is redeemed comes through Christ. In verse 23, but each in his own order. What order? The order is Christ is the first fruits. Then at his coming, that's second advent, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom of God, and that will be us, all of the redeemed throughout the ages. He is gathering us, the bride. We are the kingdom. It's not a land mass. It's not a geographical location. It's you. You're the kingdom. You get it? You are it. Then he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. There's more there. You can read on. There's more. You can go home and go, oh, wow. So as a result of God's great mercy, our spiritual standing with God is this. The Father in heaven has raised us up to new life. We call it eternal life, which was accomplished through the atoning work of Jesus Christ, the second Adam. Every believer now is spiritually seated in the heavenly places. That's what our passage is. That's verse 6. Seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the Ephesians 2:6. You are there. Now, the problem might be, concern. The concern might be you may not recognize that or feel comfortable with that. You have been transferred into the kingdom of God. If you're a bride of Christ, if you're redeemed, you're in the family. And you are seated at the table. And you're saying, well, I don't feel like I am. Well, that's just a lack of information. You are. And when you pray, you're speaking up at the table. You're participating. You're going before the Father in heaven and saying, I'm having a lousy day. Please help me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the strength, the help, the hope that I need. You're at the table. And so this is what we're seeing. He redeemed us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're put into the family of God. And Paul says, you're seated us with him, with the Father, in the heavenly places. And then if I can I interject this as if you're in Jesus Christ instead of in Jesus Christ. If you are in Jesus Christ, you're at the table. If you don't know Jesus Christ, well, then you're not. And you are one of the, well, the Apostle John called them what? Earth dwellers. You're one of the earth dwellers. We must see that this is in great contrast with our brothers and sisters in the past. When Paul was talking to those newbie believers, they were coming out of their Greek gods, and the Greek gods would only punish the people. Their blessings were few and far between. But this God that Paul is talking about, that he's encouraging them now in this letter, he is the creator of heaven and of earth. And he is lavishing upon us his great love and his great mercy that we do not deserve. And that's what he tells us in Ephesians 2:7. Notice what he says in Ephesians 2:7, and we'll close out this today. So that, Ephesians 2:7, in the ages, in the coming ages, he, that is with reference to the Father, might show the immeasurable riches of the Father's grace and kindness towards us, the bride in Christ Jesus. His unmeasurable riches will be made so obvious to us. We're going, we can't believe this. You see, all of us marvel about eternity coming, over the incredible kindness of the Lord that is directed towards each and every one of us, the love of God that has been reaching out to us and leading us, guiding us through the work of the Ra, the Numas. And he is making us more aware of the riches that are at our fingertips. We are the bride. And in my own mind, I wonder, will I be able ever to plumb the depths of what God has blessed us with? I kid Jan all the time. I said, I feel like I'm a crayon, a dull crayon, and that you drop it in the cup, and I'm not that sharp little pencil or that artist pencil that's a real fine print. I'm thinking, no, Lord, just thank you. I'll take the dull crayon. I'm in the cup. I'm just glad to be in the cup. And we're not the only ones that feel that way. I'd like to close with reading from something that encouraged me this week. And I'm going to read from Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, where David thought the same thing. And David says, "When I looked at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" My friends, our salvation is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has breathed spiritual life into our corpses. He has breathed eternal life into you. My encouragement is worship him well with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. And may the Lord truly be praised. Well, amen. Our Father, thank you for the few moments that we have together. And we praise you and thank you for leading us and guiding us and encouraging us to know that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, and you have given us the help and the hope that is needed for your honor and for your glory. Amen.